tonight that we've got some celebrations. Lee and Judy Pierce are celebrating a wedding anniversary. That's today, right? And then Fred Mork is celebrating his birthday today. And then tomorrow, Shibli has a birthday. So it's a busy weekend as we celebrate the amazing grace of God. The Reformation, wedding anniversaries, prayer walks, birthdays. So join with me in celebrating this wonderful weekend that God has given to us. There are a few announcements that I want to call to your attention also in your bulletin. You'll notice that the Women's Bible Study, November 3rd, and also the Men's Bible Study, November 3rd, keep that in mind. This Thursday, council meeting, and then next week we'll be having our Feast of All Saints, our All Saints celebration. We'll also have a sending blessing for Margene and for Denny as they depart for the South, that God would watch over them and continue to heal them with mercy and grace. And we're going to miss her, she knows that. But she and Kim Starr are going to provide a gift of music next week for us. So lots of wonderful things happening in the life of Emmanuel. And then also don't forget that there is a place in the service where we've been naming the saints that in the last 12 months, loved ones who have passed away and gone to be with Jesus in his eternal glory. So if you want me to mention that name in our prayers next week, I need to have it in writing. You can send a text, you can send an email, you can give it to me on a piece of paper, just write clearly and carefully, please. And then we will mention those names. And then there's always a part of the prayers where we have some silence. And that'll be an opportunity where you can silently or out loud mention the name of a saint that's in glory with Jesus also. I think those are the announcements that I wanted to highlight for you. The rest you can read in your bulletin. Let's rise as we are able for our confession and forgiveness. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, let us be reconciled to God and to one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Our gathering hymn, Salvation Unto Us, has come.
Good works cannot avert us.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Kyrie eleison. Christe eleison.
Christ have mercy.
Kyrie eleison. Be with you
and also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord God, Heavenly Father, pour out your Holy Spirit upon your faithful people. Keep them steadfast in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort them in all temptation. Defend them against all enemies of your word, and bestow upon the church your saving peace. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated for the hearing of God's word.
The first lesson is from Revelation chapter 14, beginning with verse 6. I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is 46, and we will be singing A Mighty Fortress. Our second lesson is from Romans chapter 3, beginning with verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah. Lord, to whom shall we go?
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We're offspring of Abraham. We've never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my words finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Congregation may be seated. An eternal gospel. Maybe we would rather say the eternal gospel, because in this life we know that there are lots of things that are temporary. You might want to, for example, fix some things, a flat tire or something, but you know that it's temporary, you know that things are going to wear out, you know that some things have a longer shelf life. Maybe you even have the ever-ready bunny that seems like it keeps going and going and going, but everything stops. Or in the words of St. Paul, the perishable must put on the imperishable, the mortal must put on immortality, and the temporal must put on the eternal. The eternal gospel. The good news of God's grace on this All Hallows Eve celebration, as we celebrate Reformation, that it is in Christ alone that our hope is found. In Christ alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, there is no other gospel. The rest are just counterfeits. They're imposters. They're fakes. Don't be duped. You know what St. Paul said, for example, to the church in Galatia? He starts off by blessing them because you've received the mercy of Jesus Christ through his atoning sacrifice, through his death and resurrection. All of your sins have been forgiven for Jesus' sake. And then he says, "I am astonished. I can't wrap my head around it. I'm bewildered. I can't believe what I'm hearing or seeing." So many of you, Paul says, you're turning away from, abandoning, deserting the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you're forming or shaping some other kind of gospel, which is not gospel, is not good news at all. In fact, even if an angel from heaven were to come to you with another gospel, or even if I myself, Paul says, were to come to you preaching a different gospel, which isn't gospel, let them be accursed. There is no other gospel. There's only one. The eternal gospel, the good news that you are saved by the grace of God, that you are saved through faith alone, justified through the death and reconciliation, that resurrection of Christ Almighty. You belong to him. You are his. Not because of good works done on our part, but through his merit only. Or in the words of that beautiful hymn, "Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die." You see, Jesus plus nothing equals everything, and everything minus Jesus equals nothing. Now, you're probably wondering, how did two verses become our first reading on this Feast of Reformation? I mean, we're used to on Reformation having a reading, you may recall, from Jeremiah 31, the New Covenant. God's not going to write it on two tablets of stone. God says the days are coming for sure, you can bank on it, when I'm going to write it on human hearts. And you won't have to have teachers telling you, know the Lord, because you're all going to know the Lord. Because he's written his will, his word, his saving grace right there on your heart. And thus says the Lord, I will forgive their iniquities and I will remember their sins no more. But tonight, we have Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 and 7. I'm going to read them again to you because these are powerful words and we dare not just kind of slip through them or by them or around them. Listen to this. I saw another angel flying directly overhead. The eye is John, exiled on Patmos. He's in the spirit on the Lord's day. He's like what we're doing. He's worshiping in the midst of sorrow and suffering and persecution. He's worshiping. And there's angels, angelos, that means messengers, that come. It's another angel. Oh, and I saw with my own eyes, John says, I saw another angel flying directly overhead. You know what that means, right? In your face. You can't mistake it. It's right there in plain view. I saw an angel flying right there in my face, and he had with him an eternal gospel to proclaim. Why in the world would we want to have an eternal gospel if we weren't going to reclaim it and proclaim it? That's what the Reformation is about, reclaiming the promises of God and proclaiming the promises of God, the certainty that there is salvation only in the name of Jesus. He has in his hands an eternal gospel that needs to be proclaimed to those who dwell on earth. That means every nation and people and language and tribe. You talk about an inclusive God. He wants everyone to be saved. That's why the eternal gospel must be reclaimed and must be proclaimed all the time. This is what John says, I'm seeing. I saw it, he said. And then he said, and I heard. You catch that? He sees and then he hears. And I heard this angel, this messenger, saying with a megaphone, with a loud voice. You see, he's right there in his face and he's speaking so loud, he's not whispering this. Because when it's good news, when it's important news, when it's essential news, when it's salvation that we're talking about, we got to make sure that we open the ears of the deaf so that people can hear the saving word of God's grace. He said with a loud voice, you ready for it? Fear God and glorify him. Give him the glory, the honor. That's law and gospel. Fear God and give him the glory and worship him. You hear that a lot in the book of Revelation. You know, a lot of people, they look at Revelation and they get kind of caught up and they say, well, is it got an S on it or not? Not. It's just one singular, the Revelation, chapter 1, verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's the source of the revelation. He's the content of the revelation. This is all about Jesus. And in a nutshell, if someone were to say, so what's that confusing book of Revelation all about? You say, God wins. Always. That's the eternal gospel. He's not going to just win sometimes. I mean, the devil might try to fool you into believing that, well, I got this one or I got that one. But when God puts his hooks into us, he means it to be for keeps. When the good shepherd claims a lamb and places his mark upon that lamb, this is for keepsake. Fear God, give him the glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the spring of water. What a beautiful Reformation word. And it's here for another reason, because Martin Luther in 1517 posted the 95 Theses on the castle church door there in Wittenberg. And 5 years later, already in 5 years, they were referring to Martin Luther as the proclaimer of the eternal gospel. Fear God, give him the glory, law and gospel. Already in 1522, they said, that angel, that messenger, that's referring to Martin Luther, who is reminding us to reclaim and proclaim the eternal gospel. Not something that's a quick fix, you know, like duct tape, but something that is an eternal fix, like the blood of Jesus Christ for you and for me. An eternal gospel, the eternal gospel. You know, in the New Testament era, the first century, at the time of Jesus, there were lots of good newses. There was lots of gospels, plural. And so one of the things that we dare not miss when we read the New Testament is that the word evangelion, gospel, good news, in the New Testament Bible, it's always, I said, always singular. Why? Because Jesus is not one of many options. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. That's the bottom line. That's the fact of the matter. So St. Mark begins his gospel by saying, the beginning, the genesis of the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He wants to make sure that from the very first chapter and the very first verse that we know what St. John hears and sees in the book of Revelation. God wins. Always. So you see, when there's a funeral, and we can't understand why one so young, or why one who has been so faithful has suffered so, and then has been taken from us, as though somehow they belonged to us and they were our property. It's precisely then that we need someone to reclaim and proclaim the eternal gospel. God always wins, because he's God. And you and I are not God. The eternal gospel. It was in 1546, at Luther's funeral, that the preacher quoted these two verses from Revelation 14. That was Luther's life. Law and gospel, that which kills and makes alive, the word of God that sets us free. Salvation unto us has come. We sang it at the beginning of our service. By God's free grace and favor, good works cannot avert our doom. They help, they save us, never. Faith looks to Christ alone. Faith looks to Christ alone, who did for all the world atone. He is our mediator, our Savior, our Lord, our Redeemer. He's the Good Shepherd. He's the Lamb who is slain and has begun his reign. Alleluia. This is the feast of victory for our God. And so you see, it's an appropriate text, only two verses long, but filled with potency and power. This reclaiming and proclaiming of the one and only good news, whose name is Jesus. You know that, so you can't hoard it. You might lose it if you don't cling to it like a burr on a velvet dress. That's what Katie Luther said. I cling to Jesus like a burr on a velvet dress. Did you know that on any given Sunday, that there are more Lutherans in Africa, more Lutherans in Africa on any given Sunday worshiping Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior than in all of the United States and Europe combined? The everlasting gospel is still being reclaimed and is still faithfully being proclaimed, no matter what the devil may do to the contrary. There was a book that I read a number of years ago called Proof by Timothy Paul Jones. And in that book, he tells the story of their adopting of their second child. They have three children. He said, when we adopted our second child, a daughter, she had been deeply wounded. She had been in an orphanage. She had been adopted by a family. But the family that she was adopted into, they didn't treat her well, and they eventually returned her back to the orphanage. This girl was adopted by Timothy Paul Jones and his family, but she had all kinds of behavioral problems, serious behavioral problems. I mean, she would steal food, she would push and shove, she had a mean spirit within her regarding her siblings. You see, in the first house that she had been adopted into, they always let her know that she wasn't good enough. And so when they went to Disney World, you know, down in Florida, who didn't they take with? This girl, because she wasn't good enough and wasn't really part of the family, you know, second class. But now in the family, the household of Timothy Paul Jones, I mean, they loved her with an everlasting love. In spite of her behavior, they didn't give up on her. And so they said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go as a family to Disney World. And then she started acting out even more because she wanted to be able to prove that she had legitimately disqualified herself because she wasn't good enough. You're not going to want to take me with. I'll prove it to you. Name of the book was Proof. But the time came, and they all went. And it was an exhilarating time. I mean, it was absolutely amazing. From sunup to sundown, I mean, the whole day they were, you know, those long lines that you kind of twist through, and food and refreshments and souvenirs, and finally into their hotel, late at night, just exhausted. And Timothy Paul Jones looked at his adopted daughter and he said, so how was your experience today? She was just grinning from ear to ear. Best day of my life. And you know what, Dad? I didn't get to go to Disney World because I was good. I got to go because I am yours. Timothy Paul Jones says, this extravagant grace of God that we can't even begin to wrap our heads around, it's for us, not because we're good enough, but because we belong. Because the Father has claimed us as his children. You know, in Revelation 14 and before that in chapter 13, you see an amazing contrast going on. I mean, there's a warfare going on. There's a battle going on. There's persecution. There's tribulation. Those were trying times 2,000 years ago. Trying times today as well, my friends, for many people. And you find out that the dragon, the ancient serpent, the beast of the sea, the beast of the earth, you find out that this unholy trinity has been attacking this woman of the earth and her child, but to no avail. And then you find out that there's 144,000 that have been sealed. And you say, wait, 10 times 10 times 10? Wait. 12 apostles, 12 tribes of Israel. Wait, 144,000. You mean I'm not supposed to read that literally? No, it's completely. It means that all those that God has saved are his forever. The eternal gospel. You see? And so the question that comes before all of us tonight in light of our first reading is this. Everyone is going to worship someone or something. You probably don't even need to tell me who or what it is. There's all kinds of idols around. We got family, we got friends, we got neighbors, we got coworkers, we got all kinds of other people that have better things to do, you know, than to worship. So who are you going to worship? The unholy Trinity or the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And who, according to Revelation 14, but also John chapter 8, who's your daddy? Who's your father? Is it the father of all lies, the ancient serpent, the diabolical one, the devil? Or is it the one who has claimed you as his own, sealed you with the Holy Spirit, and marked you with the cross of Christ forever? And everyone is going to worship, and everyone is going to have a father, and everyone is going to receive a mark. But will it be the mark of the beast, 666? Or will it be the mark of God's forever love for you? You see? St. John gets to see it. St. John gets to hear it. This everlasting gospel that Satan can't do anything about because he's already defeated. Not just wounded, defeated. Nails in the coffin. It's over. You know the name Richard Wurmbrand? 20 years a missionary. Eastern Bloc countries, Romania, communist countries, difficult being a Christian. And so he tells the story of a pastor who in the communist country was preaching the gospel and ministering to people, and then he got caught by the communists. And they wanted to know the names of all the other leaders. Give us the names. Renounce Jesus, and you can go free. And this pastor refused to do that. I won't do it. And they beat him mercilessly. They pummeled him. And then they brought his 14-year-old son, Alexander, in. And they said, you will renounce Jesus and you will give us the names of all the other Christian leaders, or you will watch your son be beaten to death. And they started to beat and inflict all kinds of terrible, hideous whippings upon Alexander, 14 years old, right there in front of his father. And he said, stop, stop. I'll give you the names. Don't do that to my son. He looked at his son. He said, Alexander, I can't bear this. I won't let them do this to you. And Alexander looked at his father. Richard Wurmbrand said, he looked at his father and he said, Dad, I don't want to be the son of a traitor. Please don't make me the son of a traitor. I will die with the words of Jesus on my lips. And so this pastor watched as they beat Alexander to death with blood all over that cell. To claim and to proclaim the everlasting gospel that requires the death of the innocent one, the faithful one, Jesus, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the one who has the keys to death and Hades. This isn't a cakewalk. This isn't about cheap grace. This is about costly grace. But I believe that the words of Jesus on Alexander's lips as he breathed his last here on earth was this: God wins, always. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to rise as you are able for our hymn of the day, In Christ Alone. Continue with our confession of faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. God has made us his people through our baptism into Christ. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body,
and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Sisters and brothers, rejoice, mend your ways, encourage one another, agree with one another, live in peace. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
And share God's peace as you are able. God's peace. God's peace. God's peace. Congregation may be seated. Did all who desire the body and blood of Christ, when they came in tonight, receive one of the cups and the bread and wine or juice? Anybody that didn't? Okay. Let us pray. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, surrounded by evil and bordered by death, we appeal to you, our sovereign, our wisdom, our judge, our giver of the eternal gospel. We praise you for Christ, who proclaimed your reign of peace and promised an end to injustice and harm. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, the sacrifice of his life and death and the victory of his resurrection, we await with all the saints his loving redemption of our suffering world. Send your Spirit on these gifts of bread and wine, and on all who share in the body and blood of your Son. Teach us your mercy, your goodness, and your grace, and make all things new in Christ. Through him all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your Holy Church, both now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
I invite you then to take the slip cover off of the bread. This is the body of Christ given for you. Take and eat. And then take off the slip cover. This is the blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Take and drink. We rise for the table blessing. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Amen.
We continue with our closing prayers.
Let us intercede before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ for the sake of the church, the world, and one another. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for his life-giving and purifying fire. Thank you for his gifts of wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and fear of the Lord, and joy in your presence. Thank you for reforming, renewing, and sustaining your one holy Catholic and apostolic church on earth. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Pour out that Spirit upon your church. Make it your holy habitation. Keep it steadfast in your word. Strengthen it in the face of temptation and defend it from evil. Reform and purify it from sin and error, and bestow on it your saving peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Be the refuge and strength of Christians when they are persecuted for confessing Jesus as Lord. Grant them the strength to endure, even to giving their life in faithful witness to him. Be to this congregation our help and our Redeemer. Gladden our hearts with the joy of your saving love. Empower us to share our joy and your love and with those who do not know either. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Exalt yourself among the nations and speak your holy word to the leaders of the world. Establish among all peoples that peace which the world cannot give, and teach us to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly before you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We long for you to break the bow, shatter the spear, and make war to cease throughout the world. Until that day, direct and strengthen all who take up arms in defense of life and liberty. Be their very present help in times of trouble and places of danger. Prosper all they do that accomplishes your will. Bring them home safely and soon. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We lift before you the needs of all whose lives are shaken by suffering. Especially we pray for these.
We pray, Lord, that you would grant mercy to Sheldon Bieri, to the family and friends of Brad Ackerman as they grieve his loss, especially his son Logan. Be with him, Lord. We pray for Melody Graves. We pray for Karen Peterson, Elaine Jacobson, Barb Stephenson, Arianna Bonanen, Barry Mowers, Eric Miller. We pray your blessings, Lord, upon those who are celebrating birthdays and anniversaries, and those that we name silently in our hearts, Lord.
Be in their midst and let them not be overthrown. Give them your saving help and say to them, "Be still and know that I am God." Restore them to health and hope that they may proclaim the awesome things you have done. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Most holy Lord, we give you thanks for the lives of all your faithful people whom you have claimed and redeemed through the precious blood of Jesus. Grant that we may humbly follow in their footsteps, boldly trust in your promises, faithfully proclaim your word, and cheerfully serve in your name. Bring us through the merits of our Savior into your kingdom. There, with all the redeemed, we shall glorify you in the power of your Spirit forever. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Hear our prayers, gracious Father, and answer them in accordance with your will, for the sake of your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Our going forth song, Built on a Rock.
Christ.
peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.